You turn with me in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're continuing where we left off this morning. And I'll start the reading with verse 1. From time to time, we'll look back at the scripture, so it's a good idea to go ahead and turn that. John, chapter 1, starting with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Pray with me. Our great and powerful King, we rejoice in who you are. We rejoice in what you've done. Thank you for your love and your care and for your provision. Bless us now as we pursue you, as we seek your face in what you have said, as you reveal yourself in your word, as you reveal your Son and your glory and your power and your might, as you show us our relationship with you, God, spur us on now in love for you and love for one another through who you are and what you have said. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was first saved, I was working in the print shop there. And a man came in, his name was Matthew Reichert. And Matthew Reichert ran Pine Valley Bible Camp. And I had such a zeal for Christ at that time. And I talked to Matthew about the things I've done and the places I've been. And he thought it would be a great idea to bring me on board and help me to lead this adventure week, where we could go whitewater rafting and we could go cave exploring. And in my zeal, I said, yeah, absolutely. Now, I was a brand new Christian at that point, and if you think I'm at all rough around the edges 13 years into this, you should have seen me then. So there I'm in this setting with these inner city kids, inner city teenagers who were rough around the edges. And whenever they challenged me or threatened me, I was happy to rise to the challenge. There were times where I stopped the bus and got off the bus and said, okay, let's do it. So there was this tension ongoing. I was free from all the gentleness that other people were using with them. And there was a danger as I was dealing with them. Well, at one point we were traveling these caves, a place called Bear Cave, and we traveled deep down into this mountain, and we're in this cavern. And the guy that was leading at that point wasn't me. And he decided to show us what real darkness was. And he had taken everybody's flashlights, and there we are, sitting around. And he turns off the light, and then there was real darkness. Not only could I not see, but there were also these people in there that kind of hated me. And I sense this oppression, and I sense this danger in the midst of true shadow, in the midst of true darkness. Nothing happened. But this shadow and this darkness that I'm talking about here, in this cave, in Bear Cave, is light and almost joyful compared to the shadow and the darkness that I have known outside of Christ. The oppression that hangs on someone. The shackles, the cords of being tied up in sin and unable to escape. And even sometimes since then, in my Christian life, I felt shadow and I have felt despair in times where I was unwilling to repent from sin. As we look at the scripture here and Jesus Christ is being portrayed as light, He is the light that shines through and pierces all darkness. He pierces through true darkness. He pierces through anything that we can't see. He pierces through shackles, black shackles that would drag you down to death. Here Jesus is being portrayed and explained as light and life. And this is what this world needs. This is exactly what this world needs. And there is no substitute for Jesus Christ, who is light, who is life. Now, we all run after the things that we don't need. I fear for myself, as there have been times in my past where I'd run after darker sins, and darker sins sometimes are peeled off and they're thrown aside. But then still, it seems as if there's lighter sins that I would pursue. But things that are still only a substitute for Christ. I think in terms of how God has given just about everyone a sweet tooth. We've been given this desire for good things and sweet things. Right now, Leslie and I were trapped on this kick of this ice cream. It is this coffee-flavored ice cream with toffee, chocolate-covered toffee bars in it. Yeah. It's fantastic. And we're trapped in this thing that we love it. And we would go back and we'd look for different ice cream. And every time, no, in the upper right-hand corner in Walmart is what we desire. But God has given us desires and yearnings. He's placed in us needs that are meant to be satisfied in Him. Even our sweet tooth is given by God so that we eat the fruits that we need and have the nutrition that we need. But it seems as if we've come from this dark place where we would look and say, that sin is the one that has undone me, and move forward to something more respectable. Another distraction. Something else that could be tolerated, or something else that could be justified. And we run to these sweets. Well, Christ is what is meant to satisfy. To satisfy our longings. To rescue you from shadow. So as we look at Christ, so we look at Jesus here, the Word, the expression of God. I call upon you to embrace this light. Embrace this light. Embrace Jesus and all those who truly proclaim Him. Our first step as we move along here, we look at verse 4. In Him was life. And it goes on to say the light of men, but we're focusing on life here. Some of us have had the misfortune of seeing death, of seeing a dead body. Joe Caskey can tell you stories from World War II. Part of his job was to go around and collect bodies that had been left after battle for some period of time. As you could think of those images and think of what that would be like. You get the feeling of the shadow of death. There's just something so wrong with seeing someone that should be alive, it should be breathing, but they're still. Today, as we bury people, as we put them in their best clothes, as we put makeup on them, as we do their hair, as we put a pink light at both ends so it shines a warm light so they look like they're alive, we do our best to mask that. But here, the Holy Spirit is moving John along, and Jesus is being portrayed as this light and this life that is so lacking in this world. Our world is wearing this mask of life, where people pretend to be joyful in sin, where they pretend to be fulfilled in their false gods and the things that they run after. I have seen so many people who just are able to rejoice in this feeler so deeply. It's their thing. They love it. They can tell you fact after fact after fact. They can name team players. But could they name the books of the Bible? And yet they pretend to have this joy. And yet what they're clinging to is something empty. It's not the Christ. And each of us have idols that we have set up that we love just as much as people that we could criticize. Be it our own pride. Be it our ice cream. Be it our TV shows, whatever it is, idols that have been set up, that need cut down, that are death and our darkness, and yet we have these respectable things that we love and that we cling to. But we see that Christ, in Him, is life. It started when He made man, and He breathed life in the man. Scripture here talks about this light being in every man, and we have this to be thankful for. This little fire that burns in us, that keeps us moving, that keeps us breathing. This life that hasn't been snuffed out, and we're thankful that we're given life. But it's a life that's meant to pursue the real life, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look in the world, and so often, even the darkest people that we see, I've always marveled at this. I think back to high school, and it seemed as if the prettiest girls fell for the worst jerks, is the way it seemed in school. And I always wondered, why is that? Why do girls like jerks? Why do they fall for them? And I've met people that are in love with jerks, with fools, with people who are abusive. And I wonder, how can this be? But the truth is, the vilest person still has that fingerprint of God on them, which enables others to fall in love with them and to rejoice in them. People are always looking for an idol to love. And just that little bit of a fingerprint is enough for anyone to love the darkest among us. That desire, that need to love, that need to praise, that need to rejoice, can only truly and rightly be fulfilled in Christ. He is who we are meant to praise. And I think of my desires sitting in fellowship time or in a fellowship meal, in conversation with people. And I wonder, why do I want to talk about the things I want to talk about if it's not Christ? I'm not saying every conversation has to be about Christ. But what is it the channels of your heart flow towards? And I challenge you to evaluate that. And see if Christ is your joy. See if He's your delight. And dam up those channels in your heart to make them flow as they ought to flow. To make them flow to Christ. As we continue on here in verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Here we have another picture of Jesus, the Word, and He's being called the light. And here is where John is displaying again that Jesus is God, as you consider Psalm 27:1. 27:1, it says, Yahweh is my light and salvation. In Psalm 36:9, with you, and this is speaking to Yahweh, with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. See, there is no other light in this world. There is so much that falls short, and there are so many things that would draw you in and seek your attention. There are so many pretty and shiny things that draw us in. And I am a person who is painfully distracted by shiny objects. I don't know why. And we all are. We all are. See, there are these things out there that have these glimmers of deity. And rather looking at the true deity, rather than really looking at God, we can are so easily drawn to these minor reflections of God. I think of how we rejoice in sports, and I'm sorry if I continue hammering at this, I can do the same thing with superheroes if it's easier for you. But we look at someone who's fast. We look at someone who's strong. We look at someone who's mighty. And I've rarely been a spectator. I'd rather just jump in and play than watch anything. I remember this video, though, of my cousin Joe. Joe was a great football player in high school. And that you would give him the ball, and he would just mow people down. And I remember this highlight video that had been put together for my cousin Joe, and my brother and I sitting and watching it, and they put it to this pounding, driving beat, this music. And Joe catches the ball and starts at one end zone, and he runs all the way across. And I remember these people running to get him and just smashing them, and they would fly, and sometimes a helmet would fly off. And my brother and I are sitting on the edge of the couch, and we're cheering, and we're rejoicing, like, yes! And it is that power and that might that we rejoice in. And that power and that might is perfect in Christ. It's perfect. Perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. This past week, for a couple of weeks now, I've been rejoicing in Psalm 18. We're still working through it in our family worship in the morning. And I looked at David being portrayed here, and he's saying, by my God, I can jump over a wall. By my God, I can advance on a troop. He talked about God making him strong enough to bend a bow of bronze. Talking about his enemies being smashed at his feet, unable to rise. And I'm looking at that, and I'm rejoicing in that, and I get in my head, I need to draw this. And I drew this picture of David, and I gave it to Lydia. But this picture of might and of power and of strength is everything that I was wanting to see in my cousin Joe, everything that I was rejoicing in there. Some of of us rejoice in art. Sure, it's a glimmer. It's a glimmer. A reflection of who God is. A reflection of what God is able to accomplish. And we should rejoice in it. But how much more should we rejoice in the true God who really shines? Some of us rejoice in academic achievement. Sure, and we should. How much smarter is God? In the depths of His understanding. The depths of all that He has put together. Some of us rejoice in wisdom and philosophy. How much more? God's wisdom. In His truth. You see this light that shines into darkness. He's Jesus. Is Jesus. And there is to be our rejoicing. In John 8:12, He said, I am the light of the world. And we're quick to run to glimmers and other little shiny things. Let's run to the true Christ, the true light. As we continue on and look at verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. See, in darkness, and the idea here is darkness does not embrace light. There's other ways to translate this. I think the gist of it here in verse 5 is the darkness doesn't get it. The darkness doesn't get it. Another way would be it doesn't comprehend it or it doesn't grasp it. Some say it didn't overcome it. The idea is it doesn't get it. It doesn't have the light. There are so many good things in the world that appear good. And they would serve and they would work and they would bring about positive things. But darkness here, as Christ is the light, darkness is anything that's not embracing Christ as the true God. Now that's a hard thing to get our minds around if you haven't been walking that trail. See, any person, any organization, in any institution that isn't embracing Christ is therefore darkness. I think of my own time in where I had a motto that I would, on my honor, I would do my best to do my duty to God and my country. But that God, rightly portrayed, the God that's being talked about there would have a little g. It would be a false God. It would be a God of moralism. A God of doing. A God of works. Not a God of grace. And therefore, even there, and even in that institution, is a darkness. A darkness, because Christ is not embraced. You see, the reason is the world is steeped in shadow. The world is steeped in darkness. And even if you bring people in, and even if we bring people in off the street and we say, pay your bills and don't spend more than you have. Even if we say, don't let your children do this, don't let your children do that. If they don't have the true light, if they don't have Christ, they're still dwelling in darkness. They're still dwelling in shadow. If they're trustworthy, loyal, obedient, helpful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent, but there isn't grace, if there's not a reliance on Christ, if there's not a relationship with Christ, they're still in shadow. They're still in darkness. They're still not embracing God, and they're still damned. So Jesus is the Word. Jesus is life. Jesus is the light. And there's no hope apart from Him. But as we will see, there is indeed great hope in Him. Now look with me at verses 6 and 7. there came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. You see, the true messengers of God, the true messengers of God point to Jesus. They point to the light. The true messengers of light point to Jesus. We are in a nation now and dwell in the midst of nations who conspire together against God and against His anointed. Who plot and say, let us break their bonds. Let us cast off their shackles. And we've gotten, our nation has gotten exactly everything it's asked for. We dwell in the midst of such rulers. We dwell in the midst of those and we serve under those who are our heads that our nation has elected. And God has given us what we've asked for. He's given us what we deserve. May He have mercy on us. No president is going to rescue us. No president is going to save us. But we, as God's people, must proclaim light. And we see here, God sends His messengers to point to Christ. It'll do little good to rally to elect someone who rejects Christ, who rejects light, who rejects God's word, who rejects God's commands. The ones that we listen to, the ones that we follow, the ones that we would believe in, must be those who point to the true light. Now, as we look at John the Baptist, and we'll have the delight of doing that another time, we see a man who was a Nazarene, or a Nazarite, I'm sorry. So he had long hair. He had a long beard. He's walking around in a camel skin. And he's eating bugs and wild honey. And he's standing by the river. And he's shouting, repent, repent. The axe is already at the root of the tree. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And to those people he points and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is what we need. Prophets, kingdom of priests, a royal priesthood who will have the courage and love to say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. People who will announce light to a world dwelling in darkness. And dwelling in shadow. This is who we've each been called to be. You see in verses 7 and 8 the purpose of this testimony. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. And we could talk for some time now about the problem of getting in the way of the light and allowing people to rely on us and trust in us, but that's not our focus right now. Our focus is on giving a testimony so that people will believe. And there are so many ways for us to get sidetracked. There are so many elements of the law that we could dwell on and focus on. There are so many sins that we could dwell on and focus on. But Jesus, the Word and the Light must be our focus. It must be the heart of our testimony. We've heard this word a lot, testimony, I imagine. We've heard other people's testimonies. Some of us have shared our own testimony. And it always must be. Jesus is the light and the salvation. Jesus is life. And there are other details that get wrapped up in it, and sadly sometimes our own sin overshadows the message of our testimony, and it overshadows the testimonies of others as they would rejoice in telling the story of their sin and rejoice in shocking people with it. And oftentimes the testimony simply is, I was this bad, and then I was smart enough to choose Christ. Now look how good I am, and come be like me now. Beware of that. Beware of that. Beware of it for yourself. As you would tell people about Christ, be aware of it in others as they would lead people to Christ. And make sure that the testimony is about Jesus so that people will believe in Him. Now we see here the great work that takes place in verses 12 and 13. I'll back up to verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and those who were His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, we see the great work of being born of God. This picture is tragic, and this church picture here is painful. There's this TV show that I think I saw once or twice. It's called Undercover Boss, where they take this CEO of a company and they put him in disguise. And he comes in and he works for his people, works with his people, hand in hand with them. And he sees what it's like and he sees what they're like. And sometimes it's kind of liked and sometimes it's kind of despised. Well, Jesus did that kind of thing. He created the world, and it was beautiful, and it was perfect, and man messed it up and drags it all into filth and sin and sorrow and shadow. And he comes into the world after prophesying for centuries, telling his people that he's coming. And he comes, and he keeps the law perfectly, and they hate him. He loves people perfectly, and they hate him. The world, he came to the world, and though he made the world, it didn't know him. Then he comes to his own. He comes to his own family that he loved and had brought along and given his commands and given the Psalms and given all the signs and the ordinances. Comes to his own, and his own people didn't receive him. You need to see the hopelessness. If this depends on us, if this depends on our righteousness, if it depends on our will, if it depends on our power, but it doesn't. What we see here is the light coming into the world, shining in darkness and shining through the midst of sorrow and death, even to the point of death on the cross, being embraced and dragged down into the grave itself. And from there, erupting in victory and power over death. And then, even then we would not believe if someone were to rise from the dead and tell us. So from there, we're rescued as we are born of God. Not born of the flesh. None of you. None of you children. My own sons. My own daughter. Diamond children. Rob children. Wilson children. You're not saved just because your parents are saved. You won't be saved just because you're in a family of people who have called on Christ. The only way that you're saved is if God has taken you and given you faith. If you've been born of God, not of the will of man, but born of the will of God. And this is the testimony for each of us. That we were in sorrow, in shadow, in death. But we have been so loved. and if it had just been left up to us, we would not have received him either. But we have been given a gift. We have been given faith. We have been given the right to be called sons and daughters of the Most High. Because light has shone in the midst of the darkness. And this light is the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we rejoice in God's faithfulness. We rejoice in God's kindness. We embrace this true light. And may we cut down every idol and find our joy, our peace in Him. And know peace indeed as we love as we have been loved. Pray with me now. Our God, thank you for loving us. Thank you, O God, for your kindness, for your grace. For giving us right, the right to be called sons and daughters of the Most High. Thank you for giving us faith. Cause us to be completely satisfied in your Son Jesus. And may our hearts and all of our affections flow towards you. That we would live in love. As we have been loved. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.